Well, you'd assume getting a separate passcode via text message to access your online bank account or email is pretty secure, right? Well, apparently not. New scams are now targeting this method of online security, and it may not be as secure as we once thought. To tell us more is Mike Johnson, a security researcher and associate professor in resilient systems at Edith Cowan University. Mike, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, thank you.
So what's happening in my phone when I receive a text message to grant access to my bank account or email?
Right, well, this has come about because, I guess, single factor authentication, that's one thing that we either know about you or that you are or that you have, is basically proven to be difficult. So it's one thing for me to say, I think you should have a 20-character random password because that's the most secure thing at the moment, and you just say that's unusable. So that's led to the rise of people saying, how about we have two different things about you that we could possibly use to verify that you are who you say you are?
Some people have been saying that it's not as secure as we once thought. Why is that?
That's because our Australian ASD have actually downgraded SMS as a way to verify yourself quite recently, it seems. So they do the work in that area, obviously, and they have a maturity model that evaluates organisations' sort of security posture, if you like. And so they've said that the channel is more or less insecure. That's not to say your phone calls aren't encrypted or whatever, and the same with perhaps with other forms, but they've said that that's not so secure because I think the use case that I looked at was to say, what if someone actually had your phone? So if we assume they've already stolen your bank account details, which is possible perhaps, then if they've got your phone, if you were doing this, you'd say, well, I'm going to transfer some money from my account to some other person's account because I need to do that. And then quite often your banking provider will say, hang on a minute, that's a large amount of money. Can you just verify who you are? And they'll say, hey, how would you like to get that? And you might say, oh, via text, that's okay. So it comes up on your phone. The difficulty comes about if someone has perhaps already stolen your telephone, your mobile phone. And then they will get that code and they can pretend to be you, which sort of subverts the whole point of the second factor authentication.
Well, if that one is not as secure as maybe we once thought, what are some different methods of online security which might be a bit safer?
Okay, well, as we said, the way we tend to get to verify ourselves or validate who we might be is usually by something that we know, like a password or something like that, which people tend not to like, or it could be something that we have, like a physical token, like say USB you stick into a machine and into a computer to verify partly who you are, or a smart card, or it could be something that we are, so some sort of biometric identifier of a person, so fingerprint, voice print, face, something like that.
What if they have your finger, though?
Yes. So let's just say that the better quality fingerprint scanners do check for things like a pulse and a temperature that's about right.
Right.
So people can't sort of say, hey, I've just, stolen someone's finger so I can be them. That's not really feasible in those situations.
Much more feasible for someone to have your phone.
Yes, because I think because people, occasionally lose their phone and can't think of where it is for the moment. And if criminals sorted that out already and they already have your bank credentials, it wouldn't take long for them to get that to happen.
And most of us are online and we have our personal details submitted to the World Wide Web and furthermore the dark web. How at risk is our online personal security at the moment?
Oh, okay, that's a slightly different question. As you say, many people are online and they tend to perhaps give up information about themselves for other purposes, so for social media purposes, and if that information is available to anybody else, they can start looking at, oh, what does it take to impersonate someone else? How can I pretend to be you? And it might not take as much as we think to pretend to be someone else because people are naturally helpful.
How can we be aware if our security has been breached? I know a lot of people are not aware until it's much too late. What can we do to be more on top of that?
Well, look, you know, I think probably the wrong answer is to say it's all very hard. You should just turn off your phone, put it in a box and never use it, because that's, you know, that's more secure. That's not going to work in a modern world. I think multi-factor authentication is a good idea, okay, because the more things that we have about ourselves that we can verify ourselves, then that makes the whole transaction a bit more secure, which is a good thing. I guess it's a matter of how we choose to get that information across. So, for example, there probably isn't much point in me saying to you, hey, I'm going to send you part of your credential to an email to you and send the next part in a second email. Because I've sent both, even though the parts might be split, you can't be you without the two parts. If I've sent the two parts by the same channel, in this case, your email, if someone hacks your email once, they've got both parts. So it's got to be by separate means, which is why the phone or some of the means was attractive in the first place.
Mm. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us here on the program this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Just then you heard from Mike Johnson, a security researcher and associate professor in resilient systems at Edith Cowan University, talking to us about why text message authentication may not be as secure as we once thought and what else we can be doing to keep ourselves safe online.